What are you looking for? What are you running after? You know there's something missing, a hunger, a thirst that drives you out there for satisfaction, for completion. And everything you eat or drink or read or buy or steal to quiet the growling, all of it is wrong, less than your need. Like dripping a palm full of water into a desert sand. Too little, not nearly enough. And seeing this and knowing this plants a black frustration in your heart and nurtures it until you are ready to burst, ready to implode in a self-destructive crash of desire, disobedience, impatient searching, and cyclical failure. You mistake a desire for the Creator as a desire for something creaturely, and mire yourself in the bad habits of the world. Sinking, you grasp at what passes by. Politics, hobbies, New Age superstition, food, drink, sex, shopping, academic achievement, the will to power, the idol of the self, whatever it is that runs by you and reaches for you. All dribbles of water in a vast desert sand. What are you looking for? What are you running after? Maybe the better questions are, who is it that you're looking for? Who are you running after? John tells us that the Jews were looking for Jesus in order to kill him. And rightly so. Jesus was a dissident, a heretic, a blasphemer. He claimed to be God. He broke the law. He roused the rabble. He claimed to bring a sword that would destroy families, end friendships, turn husband and wives against one another. He threatened eternal condemnation for those who refused to believe his word and follow him. And he failed to affirm the value of religious diversity and uphold the universal validity of all spiritual paths. So truly, he deserved to die. And so they looked for Jesus to kill him. But they were blinded by their wickedness. The wisdom of God was hidden from them, and they couldn't see his innocence. How odd. Who are you looking for? Who are you running after? And why? Are you trying to kill Christ? Think hard before you answer. Those chasing after Jesus in Judea failed to catch and kill him this time around because his hour had not yet come. Has his hour come now? Liturgically? No. Historically? Yes. We know the story, yet we live through it each year. Go again through the details, lash by lash, bloody step by bloody step, nail by nail. And we know that his hour has come, is coming, and will come again. And so we look for him. To thank him, to praise him, to question him, to kill him. Yes. He came to us and comes to us for our thanks, our praise, our education, and our lives. And for us to live, he must die. His death, for us, at his hour and by his choice, ends every search for redemption, every search for peace, every hunger, every thirst. No longing is left to hurt. No anxiety is left to worry. No fear left growling in the dark. We are freed. We are free. And we are freeing. There is no empty tomb of Easter without the cross of Good Friday. There is no cross without the desert. Turn your face then to Jerusalem and feel your desire. Know your hunger for Christ. Where are you in the desert? Who are you looking for? Do your palms and feet itch for Roman nails? Are you ready to bleed?